Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of the F-Ball NFL Podcast.
The newest.
I'm your host, Andrea Hankst. I'm the AFC North lead writer at Bleacher Report and a pro football-focused fantasy football contributor. I'm joined by my co-host, Brian.
That was quite a mouthful.
It was.
Yo, what's going on?
Yeah, it's so it's week 16 of the 2013 NFL season already. It's almost over. There's only two. Every team has two games left to play. That's it.
It's kind of hard to believe.
I'm not for an 18 game season.
Okay.
I'm on the player's side with this. It's dangerous beyond the fact that this is a dangerous game. Two more games, I think, would be bad news. But, you know, the selfish fan part of me says, sure, yeah, let's give every team two more games. Let's have more football. But, you know, I would actually be kind of upset if it did happen. But, I just can't believe it's almost over.
Yeah.
And we'll have weeks of the playoffs coming up.
I was going to say, there's still a good, you know, month or 2 months here, basically, almost 2 months.
About a month and a half.
Yeah, well, regardless,
it's like the 20th.
There's some left, and then, I don't know, I've always been one to not be that out of the pocket when it's not in season. In football, I mean, there's lots that goes on.
There's a lot that goes on. There's going to be coaches getting fired. There's going to be the start of the new league year. You know, free agency, players getting cut, traded, the draft.
Right.
So there's a lot coming up.
I'm looking forward to it being a little bit easier to, especially with the rest of football. Once the regular season ends, it's a little bit easier to watch it all at the same time. Because it's
a little bit more manageable.
There's so much happening in the
Octobox.
I know, and I dig it. That's the way I watch the football. But you know, it definitely it's a lot. And like I don't know, just Sundays are intense. You know what I mean? When you're watching every week, you know, eight games at a time, and so it'll be nice to dwindle that down a little bit, and then deal with the off season stuff, which is you know obviously less intensive on your weekends.
Yeah, for sure. But with the season quickly coming to a close here, that means playoffs are just around the corner.
Playoffs?
There you go.
I knew you were expecting it.
Yeah.
So
this week, there are a number of teams that can make their way into the postseason. They can clinch their divisions. They can clinch playoff berths. Starting in the AFC, for example, so Denver and Kansas City, they both have playoff spots. Still have to determine which ones, who's going to be the one seed, who's going to be the five seed in the AFC. The Indianapolis Colts have already clinched the AFC South. The Broncos can win their division and get a first round bye if they win this week and the Chiefs lose. And they can get home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs if they win, the Chiefs lose, and the Patriots lose or tie. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't really see Kansas City losing this week and I don't see Denver losing this week. So I think we might be down to week 17 for the AFC West,
which that'll, you know, it's a different day and age. I mean, we all remember week 17 from years back and it was just half the league was just playing nobody or backups and it just made so many games uninteresting, and they made the switch, and it certainly can add so much to the actual stakes of what's happening in the league in week 17 now.
Absolutely. And, I like how they load up these divisional games, these meaningful games now at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So it makes it more interesting. You know, I'm never a big advocate of players resting in week 17, especially if you're talking about a team like the Denver Broncos, who potentially could have a first round bye.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rest time, and I'm not big on it. I think it takes guys out of their rhythm, out of their weekly preparation.
I mean, I think it depends on the guys, but yeah.
You see it happen a lot with Peyton mm-hmm. Manning, though. So I think it's actually good that the AFC West is going to basically probably come down to week 17, because then that's going to force him to stay on the field, and I think that ultimately that's going to produce better results for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots can clinch the AFC East if they win or tie against the Ravens, or if Miami loses or ties. The Patriots can get a first-round bye, however, if they win, Cincinnati loses or ties, Indianapolis loses or ties, or if New England ties the Ravens and then the Bengals and the Colts both lose.
Wow. Somebody really was researching.
Well, they can also clinch a playoff spot if Cincinnati loses.
If all these ties happen, I'm just going to – I might have to stop watching football.
Well, they have to bring it up because technically that's the case. So, I mean, I'm not too concerned about the Patriots winning the AFC East. They have a tough matchup this week. They're in Baltimore against the Ravens. We'll talk more about that with the picks coming up ahead. But it's not going to be easy for the Patriots to get that win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that that's, I mean, technically, you know, the AFC East could come down to week 17 as well, because you've got the Miami Dolphins still hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for the playoffs themselves.
AFC North as well, though, right?
Yes. And then we're getting to that. The Cincinnati Bengals, they can clinch the AFC North this week if they win and Baltimore loses or ties. Or if the Bengals tie with the Vikings, who they host this week, and Baltimore loses. So if Baltimore loses to the Patriots and the Bengals can beat the Vikings, then the Bengals have the AFC North tied up in a neat little bow
and then
prior to
play,
the Week 17 matchup with the Ravens.
Right.
So I'm guessing that the world, the NFL world, you know, is kind of looking at this and thinking, all right, hopefully the Bengals and the Ravens will both win and the division will come down to week 17 just because it's compelling. It's a compelling story.
Oh, the networks would love it. That's
networks
for sure.
Networks would love it. So so we'll see about that. The Ravens, you know, by the way, the Bengals can also clinch a playoff spot. They can be guaranteed a spot if they win and Miami loses or if they tie and Miami loses. Going on with the Ravens, they can get a playoff spot if they win, Miami loses, and San Diego loses or ties their game this week. So as you can see, and then when you go to Miami, they'll clinch a playoff spot. If they win, Baltimore loses and Cincinnati loses. So,
okay, now you're losing me.
I'm just saying that so much in the AFC really hangs on what the Bengals, Ravens, and Dolphins do or do not do this weekend.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's definitely going to add a lot of intrigue to their games. And so yeah, we got some intriguing stuff this week, and then – most likely, like you're saying, there's probably going to be a couple really high stakes, good matchups for week 17 as well.
Yes. Heading into the NFC, we're talking about the teams that have playoff scenarios that could play out this weekend. Seattle Seahawks have clinched a playoff spot. They can win the NFC West and home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs if they win or if San Francisco loses. It's really straightforward. Seattle gets a win. They've got home field advantage throughout the whole thing. They're the top seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
They can also do that even if they don't win, if San Francisco loses.
Right.
So, big week for Seattle. Big week.
Yes.
The Saints can clinch the NFC South and a first-round bye if they defeat the Carolina Panthers this week in Carolina, which is going to be tough to do. But they will clinch a playoff spot if Arizona loses, if San Francisco loses, if Arizona ties and they tie, or if San Francisco loses and Arizona ties. So basically, an Arizona loss means the Saints are in the playoffs, and a New Orleans win means that they got the NFC South and a first-round bye. So it's a big week for them.
Okay.
And it's going to be hard because it's the Carolina Panthers who get a playoff spot if they win.
Well, so the Panthers are still in it for that division, though, right?
Yes, but that will come down to week 17.
So that, well, they have to win next week, obviously, and then they're gonna need to win, and then have.
They have to win this week, and they have to win next week.
Well, they have to win. They have to win out.
Yes.
But then the Saints have to lose the following week.
That's not a scenario that can happen right now.
Okay.
The 49ers will get a playoff spot if they win. They'll get one if Arizona loses, and they'll get one if Arizona and the Niners both tie.
You just need to stop. Okay.
And the Eagles will win the NFC East this week if they win and Dallas loses.
Mm-hmm.
While the Bears will win the NFC North if they win, Detroit loses, and Green Bay loses.
Bears hold their own destiny. They just went out.
Yes, they went out, but they can clinch it this week without winning out if Detroit and Green Bay both lose.
If Green Bay loses as well,
yes,
of course.
So we got a lot of moving parts to the Week 16 NFL picture.
A lot of ifs.
I'm really interested in here. I think is the NFC North. You know, we've got this three team race right now. It doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing this week though, when they host the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see what comes of that.
He started practicing again today, I heard.
Yeah, he was practicing today, but
that's at least a step. He hadn't done that in a while, right?
He's been practicing.
Oh, I thought they said that he just started this.
He's been practicing a little bit. He's not cleared for contact.
Oh, okay. Well, regardless.
As far as I know, I haven't got any alerts that he's cleared for contact. I mean, if he's cleared for contact, he'll play this week, but I haven't heard anything like that. He's just been throwing around.
I thought I heard it on the radio somewhere, but
they say cleared for contact?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I was kind of paying attention.
So there's a lot of playoff stuff that can happen this week, you know, and it's just interesting, you know, so many teams are still trying to separate themselves at this point. You know, you look at the Denver Broncos, they obviously look like a playoff team. The New England Patriots can't not look like a playoff team, regardless of whether they've got Rob Gronkowski or whoever's out there, as long as they have Tom Brady out there for whatever, you know, it just keeps happening. The Bengals are a real question mark at this point. You know, they're my AFC Super Bowl pick to go up against the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, now I'm getting kind of worried. You know, they obviously started poorly against the Steelers and ended up losing. And, you know, they were down, you know, 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, 27-0. You know, and that's a huge hole to dig yourself out of, but they just had no sense of urgency in order to dig themselves out of that hole. They weren't playing with any sort of requisite fire or anything like that. I mean, they could have basically tied the division up with the bow last week.
They started out flat and got in a huge hole early, and it was mainly due to two special teams plays. Yeah, I mean that it's one of them things that, you know, some teams, you know, in a certain game, some teams do it a lot, but sometimes in a certain game, a certain team will just be flat for a while, and you see them turn around in the second half, but they need to be close enough in it, you know, and that's just that it just got away from them in a hurry was the problem there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it was not a good look for a team that you know is so close to winning the division. And hopefully winning their first playoff game since 1990. They have been in the playoffs since 1990, but no, they have not won.
Well, I think we kind of even briefly touched on this last week, but let's not forget, you know, it's not like the Ravens went flying into the playoffs and went all the way to the Super Bowl last year.
Exactly. I mean, they lost four of their last six games.
They squoze in, you know, and, they barely made it in fourth and 29, and you know, but then they just turned it on as soon as they got there. So, you know, and I'm not saying that every team can do that, and it's not like that happens every year, but it really is. It's about you know, and sometimes teams can go in playing well and then just keep it going. But yeah, I'm just saying it's tough to say with 2 weeks left, a team that's in their own driver's seat like the Bengals are. With two home games where they haven't lost all year,
right?
And certainly they had looked really good for the better part of the last, you know, month or month and a half, I'd say, mm-hmm. With the exception of that Steeler game, you know, otherwise they had looked pretty
comfortable,
Yeah, that balanced, that good balanced look that we were expecting all season from them.
Mm-hmm.
We had seen that, and I certainly think, especially with two home games, that they, if they could get that going, and then they take that into the playoffs, would have a home game in the playoffs, and it's hard to say where they could go with it from there. I certainly think that they're still one of the stronger contenders in the AFC.
The NFC, obviously, the Seahawks are really looking like the team to beat. I mean, they win this week, they have home field advantage throughout the whole playoffs. Nobody has gone into Seattle this year. I don't think anybody went into Seattle last year, if I'm correct, or maybe only once, and defeated the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, basically, is this, I mean, if they win this week and they clinch the division, clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs, have they basically punched their ticket to the Super Bowl?
They're going to be heavy favorites in Vegas, if you want to put it that way. I mean, do I think that somebody can go to Seattle and beat them? Sure, why not? I mean,
Carolina. I would love to see the Panthers.
I think Carolina could.
I would love to see the Panthers in Seattle as the NFC Championship game. I think they're really well-matched teams. They both have incredibly strong defenses, really good run games, smart, developing young quarterbacks.
I still think the Niners could do it. And I know you're going to say, well, the last few times the Niners have gone up to Seattle, they've gotten smoked, which is very true.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. But at the same time, those were also – it's a fact also that those were regular season games. And it's very easy – to get overwhelmed like that in a regular season game, just, you know, if you're, again, you're flat for whatever reason or they're extra keyed or whatever. But when you're in a playoff situation, you know, it's a whole nother game. And,
right.
And especially with the Niners who, they, you know, they were there last year and, you know, they have that experience to draw from. You know, I certainly think I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm not trying to predict anything. I'm just saying, like, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if they went up there and won. Beyond those two,
I personally think the Carolina Panthers end up winning the NFC South because of this week's game against the Niners. Yeah, I really have no predictions.
Yeah.
I have no, or, yeah, sorry, the Saints. I have no real prediction right now for the NFC North. I'm just going to let that play out through Week 17, and we'll see what ends up there. The same thing with the NFC East. I think the Eagles have finally emerged as a favorite right now in that division, which is something that, you know, is always up for grabs, it seems, this time of year. But again, anything could happen. I mean, Dallas was just completely embarrassed last week, but they might come out of that with a newfound sense of urgency. Probably
right.
Not, but, you know, considering they've got a potential lame duck coaching situation there right now with Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, personally, I do like the Eagles to win that division at this point. I think that they've got a lot of good going for them. That Nick Foles show is quite entertaining indeed.
Yeah.
But anything, I mean, with both the NFC North and NFC East, you know, those are two divisions where I think anything can happen over these last 2 weeks. It's going to be a fun couple weeks of football. It's going to be interesting to see who actually gets the playoff spot.
Yeah, it's going to see who can step up in crunch time. And I mean, that's the thing. It's now come down to this. So,
yeah.
You know, you play the whole season trying to get to the playoffs, and for, you know, a handful of teams in both conferences, you know, there's
it's a little easier for some.
They're sitting right there. Right. It's right there. All they got to do is win. Or all they got to do is win and hope someone else loses. But, you know, it changes your perspective going into each game. So, yeah, it should be some fun stuff.
It's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of those narratives of, like, who wants it more and things like that. But I'll tell you right now, any of these teams in the hunt right now want it so badly, it's not even about more.
Of course.
It's just about who shows up and who can do it.
Execution.
It comes down to execution. So that's why, you know, with that sixth seed in the AFC, I lean Baltimore over Miami. Because there's a level of experience there. They're the Super Bowl champions. They have to, you know, they want to go and defend that thing.
Of course.
Properly. Even if they go 1-and-done in the playoffs.
They especially want to go just because they're
the champs.
Different Ravens than
last year.
And
they're a different Ravens.
You know,
there
were so many changes and they were counted out so many times since the Super Bowl. Basically, since the Super Bowl and the team, you know, the fallout ensued with Ray Lewis retiring and Ed Reed and all that happened
on the defensive side
right.
of the ball.
All the changes that went on there, and in Bolden, them letting Bolden go, and like all the differences that happened, and then they got in the season, they lost Pitta, or at least for most of the season, and it got to the point where you know everybody was counting them out. It's like, oh well, they won the Super Bowl last year, but you know.
Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah,
they're so
look,
different.
They're just not going to be able to
do
anything this year.
Anything.
Of course, they're gonna have that in the back of their minds this whole time, and trying to prove everybody wrong that they're just as good as they were last year. So,
you know, to me, the you know, just to touch on one thing about the Ravens, of all the changes that they've had, especially considering how many starters on defense, you know, they've had to replace this past year. I think the biggest impact has been going from Matt Burke at center to Gino Gradkowski. I mean, that's where, you know, not to be completely unfair to Gino Gradkowski, because they They've just had offensive line turmoil, the likes of which the Ravens don't normally experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it all starts from the new center on out. In terms of, you know, protection calls.
The center's the quarterback of your offensive
line.
Right,
the protection calls and the blocking schemes and all that kind of stuff. That's what's really affected them the most out of everything. It's Matt Burke retiring and Gino Gradkowski.
Of course, you can't. Matt Burke was like a 14 or 15 year veteran or whatever, and Gradkowski was his second year. Second year.
And he was a late round draft pick.
Sixth, seventh rounder, wasn't he? Something like that.
He was a fourth rounder.
Oh, fourth rounder. Okay, sorry.
He was number 98 overall, if you will.
Mr. Gradkowski, I didn't mean to discount you.
No, he's a fourth-round pick.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
tapped to be the guy who was going to replace
Matt. And you know what?
It's hard.
That's what I'm saying. In 2 years, we could say, oh, this guy's one of the best centers in the league, you know?
It just takes a minute.
To think that he's going to step in for the first time starting and be the same as Matt Burke, I mean, it's not realistic.
Right. And there's been so many changes to that line. Coletio Semele with his back injury, so you got A.Q. Shipley in there. Get rid of Brian McKinney, bring in Eugene Monroe. So you've got three new starters on the offensive line. And the only guy who's really holding it down, I mean, Monroe's doing a pretty good job. You never hear A.Q. Shipley's name mentioned, so he's obviously doing something right.
I never hear A.Q. Shipley's name mentioned.
Marshall Yanda, of course, he's one of the top veteran guards in the league.
Sure,
but then you've got Michael
A.Q.
Oher at right tackle, you know, and he's about to be a free agent. I don't think he's going to return to Baltimore. I think that's been the real issue for the Ravens. Obviously, the offense has been the problem this year. And it all stems from the line.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
And that's what I'm thinking could be their undoing. I don't see them actually making a deep playoff run should they make it. But I do give them
an edge over
Miami.
Unless they get that magical offensive line potion, playoff offensive line potion that they got last year. So
yeah. Actually, you know, I was doing some digging and that was actually an overrated line. A lot of it was Flacco magic, where he was like getting the ball out of his hands quickly. His receivers were like really making plays for him. It was fascinating stuff, really. That Flacco pulled all those tricks out of his magic hat.
Right.
Which maybe he could do that again this year. I mean, it's going to take. I mean, again though, they were a top 11 offense in every important metric last year, and this year they're in the 20s. So I'm not feeling it too much, but I'm feeling it over Miami getting there.
So you think they're gonna squeeze into the sixth seed?
Yeah.
And then play Cincinnati in the first week of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Which I think would be really interesting, because that's two consecutive games against those teams.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it'll be back to back Bengals Ravens games in Cincinnati, which would be
really weird.
It'd be super weird.
Yeah.
That's our little playoff banter. Do you have anything you would like to add about whether or not the Lions can take over the NFC North over these last 2 weeks?
Let me just say this. The Lions, I was pretty depressed after the game the other night.
Losing to six field goals doesn't feel nice.
That had nothing to do with it. It was mainly that I was mourning the season, because I don't expect the Lions to go to the playoffs at this point. That's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. They had their chance and they blew it. The probably the worst one was the loss to the Bucks. I mean, that really sealed it, because even though there was things happened since then,
yeah,
that was the most winnable game. And they were sitting there with, you know, this path to glory in front of them. They right coming off that win against the second win against the Bears, and they were going to the Steelers, who had hardly been doing anything at that point in time.
Yeah,
they lost that game, which it's on the road against the Steelers. So, and it was the second road game in a row. It wasn't as a big a loss to me, certainly, even though the Steelers, now they look a lot better, but like at the time, it looked really bad loss for the Lions. But I didn't feel so bad about that one. It was going home the next week to play the Bucks, and yes, the Bucks have played better football as of late than they were early in the season when they were a complete disaster. But that being said, the Lions should have won that game. There's no reason they shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah, at home against, I mean, the Buccaneers aren't a very good football team. They just got better
They beat the Packers on Thanksgiving and dismantled them, and one of the best performances I can remember by any Lions team on a Thanksgiving, and frankly on just about any football day. but that being said, it was, you know, their old rival without Rodgers, and you know, they put it together that week, but you know, then they you know, tripped on snow angels in Philly, and you know, we saw what happened on Monday. It's too much that this train wreck is the train is derailing, and the cars are just gonna keep coming behind it, and the Lions are done. I
would say the Bears probably have the best shot at that division at this point, just because we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to come back this week. If he doesn't, I mean, they're basically leaving that team for dead, potentially. So, I mean, obviously the Bears have the advantage, even though, you know, I kind of wish that the McCallum magic was still going strong.
The key, I think, I mean, weirdness aside, such as, you know, a foot of snow in Philly when they go there next week, you know, the key really is not even to do with the Bears, I don't think.
Well, this week, you mean?
Next game. This coming game.
Week 16 this week.
Week 16. But no, I think the key is really, it's all about Rodgers. I mean, I don't know, without even knowing exactly who they're playing, I think the Bears and the Packers play again, which it could come down to all of that, right?
Potentially.
That's the week 17. But you know, if Rodgers is back, you know, this team that was on life support a few weeks ago and looked like a shell of themselves, or what, you know, they have been over the past few years, you know, they're right there knocking on the door. The Bears have to go to Philly, which is going to be a tough game this Sunday. And the Bears control their destiny technically,
but it's a tough destiny
to control. Like I said, if Rodgers comes back,
like with the Ravens, I mean, they've got New England, and then they go to Cincinnati next week. They control their own destiny, but it's a tough destiny,
right? And so if Rodgers comes back, then assuming the Packers win against the Steelers on Sunday, then they're playing the Bears week 17. And that's a completely different...
No, everybody's controlling their own destiny.
Right. And the Bears, so the Bears, you know, better hope they win in Philly. You know, it all comes down to it then in the week 17. So, and then they're going against the Packers with Rodgers rather than the other Packers, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Randall Cobb's coming back this week. He's back from his broken leg. So Randall Cobb's going to be playing this week.
So that, I mean, basically, you know, not trying to cop out of this too much, but... I think the Lions are done, and I think that, you know, it's Bears or Packers, depending on Rodgers.
Yep. I agree with you. It's going to be an interesting week 16. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun stuff to talk about in week 17. I'm really looking forward to these last 2 weeks of games. Like we said earlier, at least the league has made these final 2 weeks more interesting now, and it's given everybody a lot to talk about. Thankfully.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to look at these Week 16 games and make our picks.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Even my reflections disrespect you like a freshman during hazing.
What an amazing assessment.
The police book me for book smarts, but who the promoters book now? Raise the bar so high that the bar's afraid to look down. Spend nights in a castle. At dawn, I'm a king. Play horn to a queen for the throat in the tabernacle. So actually, you should build a statue of my likeness in the center of your city. No justice, no peace, no settle.
And we're back here at the F-Ball NFL podcast, and it's time for our week 16 minute picks.
Yes.
There are no Thursday night games here on out. Last week was the final one of the season.
Sadly enough, because Mayock and Nestor were my favorites.
Yeah, they're definitely my favorites too. So that means 15 games on Sunday and one on Monday.
Yikes.
Starting with Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Miami is trying to keep its playoff hopes alive. The Buffalo Bills will be starting Thaddeus Lewis at quarterback. EJ Manuel has a sprained knee. You know, I actually like the Bills more with Thaddeus Lewis. He has a really good connection with Robert Woods. You know, I think it actually gives the team a boost. EJ Manuel's been kind of floundering as of late. He needs some more development to be certain. So I think that Buffalo's going to be a harder test for Miami with Lewis under center. I'm going to go with Miami, however, even though they're going on the road, just because they have so much to fight for. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill's been playing surprisingly well considering the rest of that offense and the way the line's been this year. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins' defense has been playing really well, too, the last month or so, and you're right, they have everything to play for, and the Bills don't have much to play for. It should be an interesting game because it's in Buffalo, certainly, but I'll go the Dolphins as well.
The Cleveland Browns are on the road at the New York Jets. You know, the Browns kind of had a little bit of a heartbreaking loss last week. You know, I think that they can rebound well against this Jets team, though. I mean, if there's a team that's kind of struggling more right now than the Browns, you know, it's definitely the Jets. And I think the Cleveland Browns have been playing decent football for how many losses that they have right now. Obviously, you know, Browns on the road is kind of a risky prospect, but I don't know. I think they're just angry enough. I mean, they're going to be without Joe Hayden, but the Jets don't have much of a passing offense anyway. So I'm going to go with the Browns.
Yeah, I was. I still don't know what we saw with the Browns last week. It was such a weird game.
Jason Campbell couldn't handle the cold.
They were flat and just not up for that game, and it haunted them the whole time. I definitely think the Browns should win this game.
I wouldn't be surprised they don't.
In New York and the Jets defense is you know, certainly can play well at home and could give them some fits, but I'll go with you, the Browns.
New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, both these teams have a lot to fight for. The division is basically on the line with this game. I like the Carolina Panthers here. I mean, obviously, Carolina did not win in New Orleans, but I think that they can absolutely win at home. They've got that tough defense. Obviously, New Orleans, I mean, they're a completely different team on the road, as we saw last week with the Rams.
Yep.
And as we've seen all season, really, I think that gives Carolina a huge advantage here. I like everything that they're doing right now, to be honest, and I think they get this win.
I think this should be a really good game.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah, the Saints certainly aren't the same team on the road. We saw them struggle last week, but you know this is the de facto. I mean, there's going to be some other factors involved, but just this is basically the NFC South championship game, and maybe. but it's as close to it as you're going to get anyway, and I think that both teams are going to come to play, obviously. But I do like the Panthers here in this situation. Their D should keep them in the position to win, whatever that means.
Minnesota Vikings at the Cincinnati Bengals. Minnesota last week, very surprising with that victory over the Eagles. They really pulled that out. Matt Castle's doing a lot of good for their offense right now in terms of the three quarterbacks that they have on that roster. He's obviously the most promising. You know, Bengals had that harsh loss last week to the Steelers. A lot of it really fluky and freaky, but they didn't really fight much once they were in that situation. I think it'll be different at home where they haven't lost. You know, they know what's at stake here. I don't think they're going to let the Minnesota Vikings trip them up this week. The Vikings, again, could be without Adrian Peterson. That's a huge thing if that's the case. But I like the Bengals a lot at home. Get this playoff berth thing, you know, under lockdown.
The Vikings last week were one of the biggest surprises of the week, and they kind of embodied like all the weirdness that game, and kind of embodied all the weirdness that happened in the league last week. I thought there was a lot of strange things happening, but you know, with that, you know, this is on the road at the Bengals. The Bengals haven't lost a home all year. The only way the Bengals are losing this game is if it's like a look ahead situation for that last week against the Ravens, but there's too much at stake for that.
Dallas Cowboys at Washington. Dallas also another one of those teams that was part of the last week's craziness. They lost to the Matt Flynn Packers in Dallas after blowing what was it, like a 23-point lead. It's the worst loss in Cowboys history. It was a body blow, just terrible. But I think they can get it back together against Washington. Washington has a terrible defense, especially, you know, against the pass and the run. I think Tony Romo, you know, has a lot of opportunities here to make things look good with him and Dez Bryant. You know, I'm not too worried about the Washington offense with Kirk Cousins under center for the next few weeks. So I feel comfortable with Dallas on the road in this situation.
You know, you're talking about Washington's defense being as bad.
Dallas' defense is terrible.
I was gonna say Dallas' defense isn't really good. I liked what I saw out of Kirk Cousins last weekend in a somewhat of a tough situation. I think for him starting his first game on the road against a very desperate Atlanta team. And he performed well, and the team performed well, and my buzzer won't stop going off. And can I get this thing to – there we go. And sorry about that. Technical difficulties here. But, yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and say that I like Washington in this situation. I think that they're going to have some fight in them. They were a little energized by Cousins coming in. They're going against what should be a friendly defense for them at home. I don't trust Dallas to, you know, do anything at this point.
There's not going to be much defense in that game. I think that's something we could both agree on.
Probably.
Denver Broncos at the 2-win Houston Texans. Case Keenum will not be playing. He injured his thumb. It'll be Matt Schaub. Ben Tate, who's played all season with 4 broken ribs, they finally decided to shut him down, put him on IR.
Wow.
It's over for Houston. And, you know, obviously, I guess it's a little bit of a better situation, you'd think, because they're at home. But then they just get to be embarrassed by Peyton Manning in front of their home crowd, whoever, deigns to show up. I'm going with the Broncos, and I think it's obvious as to why.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it helps that they're at home, but, you know, they've lost some bad games at home,
too.
Oh, they've
lost some bad games at home.
You know, it's hard to say that's going to help them too much, especially playing Denver, who, with their loss last week, still have a lot to play for here. And especially coming off that loss, at home in the primetime game, nobody expected that. That kicked that week off last week. So
yeah.
that weird
week.
I think the Broncos bounce back and beat a team they clearly should, even though it's in their house.
Okay, we've got the Indianapolis Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Colts have the AFC South on lockdown. They can't really improve their playoff seeding too much because they've already been beaten by the Bengals, while the Kansas City Chiefs don't want to be the AFC fifth seed. They want to be that top seed instead of the Broncos.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've got 11 wins right now, the same as Denver, so obviously they are ready to fight. I really like the Chiefs in this game. You know, the Colts, it's not saying that the Colts don't have anything to fight for. They don't have, you know, these are two teams that are potentially going to see each other in the postseason. It could happen. So
certainly,
you know, obviously the Colts want to look good against this Chiefs team, but I like it. It's the Chiefs at home. You know, they've got one eye on Denver at all times. They know what's happening. They know Denver's got Houston this week. I think they'll get this win.
This is a good team at home with a lot to fight for.
A very good team.
And I think the Colts, you know, the Colts have shown to be giant killers a little bit this year. And so
that's absolutely true.
I wouldn't be, you know, totally shocked if they somehow did that again. But outside of those couple weeks, that little skid they had, the last 2 weeks we've seen those dominant Chiefs come back. And I think we'll see that again Sunday.
We got the Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The run of success for the Jaguars has kind of petered off a little bit. You know, Maurice Jones-Drew, he's got a hamstring issue right now. He might not play. Cecil Shorts has been shut down for the year with his groin injury. So right now, basically, you know, in terms of offense, you know, you've got Mercedes Lewis, who's finally come on. He's healthy. He scored a touchdown in each of his last 3 games. Chances are Jordan Todman will get the start at running back. You know, he's actually a very intriguing kind of running back, and the defense is playing pretty well. But I'm just going to go with the Titans here. I think that, I think they're just a little bit healthier. I think that the talent, you know, scales tip in their direction a little bit, so I'm going to go Titans.
The Titans are one of the weirdest teams for me to pick, and maybe for a lot of people if they're picking games.
It is, but they're
definitely a tough one to nail down. I really have no idea how to pick this game. I'm gonna go with the home team because.
I mean, there's an argument in favor for both.
I mean, and the Jags swept the Texans, right?
Yeah, the Texans only have 2 wins, so.
Yeah, and so I think the Jags are gonna sweep the Titans too.
Interesting.
Just based on the pick I just made out of nowhere.
Tampa Bay at St. Louis. Buccaneers at Rams. The Rams, ooh, you know, they had that great home showing last week against the New Orleans Saints. For mm-hmm. some reason, no matter what this Rams team is, they have the Saints' number. I'm going to go with St. Louis to win this game. Their defense is really fierce. They've got a good running back in Zach Stacy. You know, I think that they're doing okay in terms of the passing game right now, even though Bradford's on the shelf. Tampa Bay's just—it's a little—they're erratic,
mm-hmm.
They're streaky, and I don't trust them particularly much on the road. I think St. Louis will do just fine this week.
Yeah, I think a second AFC or NFC West team in a row is going to be tough for the Bucs.
Yeah,
the Niners are a tougher draw, I think, but they had them at home, and that game kind of went. That was one of the ones that went pretty much how I expected it to. I think that straight up the Rams are a marginally better team, mainly because their defense is playing a little bit better, and you know, ever since Bradford went out, you know, that Rams offense has looked okay.
Yeah, they've looked okay, all things considered.
No, I think that turns into a win for them on this Sunday.
We've got the New York Giants at the Detroit Lions. I think Detroit's going to bounce back from that loss. That field goal filled loss just fine against the Giants, who I mean, if there's one team that's more of their own worst enemy this year than the Lions, I think it's been the Giants. You know, just when you think, oh well, they've got this drive going, then Eli throws another pick. You know, the run game isn't really producing a lot. They find themselves behind a lot. The defense obviously isn't what it used to be. I like Detroit here. I think they'll bounce back. And you know, with so much at stake too, I think that the Giants are a team that they'll be able to defeat.
The Giants are, you know, really one of the only teams that are close to on the same level of being able to shoot themselves in the foot as the Lions are.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't trust the Lions to win any game at this point. They've won one in the last five. They're playing, you know, back to that old, you know, can't believe how much they're underachieving, you know. This one's tough for me to pick. I'll take the Lions, I guess.
Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, Arizona has been playing really well. The whole NFC West has been, you know, quite difficult this year.
It's looked like the most stout in the NFC, that's for sure.
But you know, this is the Seahawks playing at home. They win this game. They have home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs, the first round bye. You know, I think they'd like to get to that point before week 17. You know, be able to rest a few guys, you know, especially, mm-hmm. you know, Marshawn Lynch in week 17, things like that. I think Seattle will win this.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the Cardinals are, you know, They're not an easy out. They're a feisty team. They played pretty good defense for the most part. They've been able to get some good wins, especially on the road. But this is a different story.
This is a different team to travel to their home.
Yeah, you know, it's not just because of what their home field advantage is. It's just because of how good that team is.
Yeah,
and I don't think this works out well for the Cardinals.
New England Patriots at the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, we know what's at stake here. New England can potentially move into the top seed, depending on what happens with Denver. Baltimore is just trying to maintain grip on the sixth playoff seed and make it to week 17, where potentially they can take the AFC North. I like Baltimore a lot here. I think Baltimore kind of has New England's number as of late. They beat them last year in the AFC Championship game, beat them last year in the regular season, nearly beat them in the AFC Championship game the year before that. I think that Baltimore is going to prove to be one of the most difficult places the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots will play for the rest of their tenure together. And I will guarantee you we will see a lot of New England-Baltimore games on a yearly basis, probably. I like Baltimore here a lot. I think that they know, they have the blueprint of how you mess with Tom Brady, you get in his head, you give him a lot of pressure. I don't expect a lot from Baltimore's offense, but I think that they can limit New England's offense enough. And yes, I spoke for the whole minute.
You know, it's funny, and I'll just point this out real quick. It's funny how whenever I get cut out of the entire minute, it's usually an AFC North team.
Well, it's the teams that I know most about.
I know. I'm just messing around. Real quickly, though, I both of these teams, without doing any research, this is completely on my perception of what I think I've seen this year, but I think both of these teams have played a lot of close games. And they both have been able to win a lot of close games.
True.
But I do kind of agree with you that Baltimore's played New England well lately, and it's in M&T. So I'm going Ravens.
Sunday Night Football. Chicago Bears at the Philadelphia Eagles. There's so many playoff implications here, it would take an hour to list them all. This is going to be a weird game.
Yes.
Yes. Chicago's got an extremely productive offense, whether it's McCown or Cutler, because they've got Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett. Philadelphia, of course, has a very efficient and prolific offense as well. Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, Riley Cooper,
Deshaun Jackson.
So, you know, they both have pretty strong offenses. Both are kind of lacking, I'd say, a little bit on defense.
Questionable.
They're a little questionable. You know, I'm actually picking, we skipped a couple night games or Thursday or afternoon games, but whatever.
We'll go back to them.
We'll go back to those. I'm picking Chicago here, though. I don't know. I like it. It makes more sense to me, so I'm going with Chicago. Chicago's a team that makes more sense.
I like that. It makes more sense to you.
Yeah.
I'll quickly state that I don't know. This is a situation. From what I've seen of this Bears team this year, this just doesn't look like a game they're going to win. I've been thinking this for the last few days when I heard they were going out to the Eagles next. That this just seems like a spot where they lose. I don't know why.
All right. Jumping back in time, we're jumping back in time. I skipped a couple games here. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Green Bay Packers. It doesn't look right now like there's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but who knows? If there's Aaron Rodgers, I can tell you right now the Steelers are not going to win. But I still don't. I'm still not picking the Steelers to win. I don't like them on the road in Lambeau, even with Matt Flynn as the Packers quarterback. I just don't like it. If that makes sense. I don't like it. It just doesn't sit. It doesn't look to me like a Pittsburgh victory. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, even without Rodgers, they've scrapped out two wins in a row here.
They have the
one at home against that struggling Atlanta team, and then the improbable comeback last week. It's
Matt Flynn's next big payday game.
I think the Steelers are better than both of those two teams. The Steelers right now are better than both of those other two teams that they just beat right now. I'm kind of thinking that Rodgers is going to come back. I don't know.
I have a feeling too.
It's a suspicion.
Something.
You know?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way too. We'll go tomorrow.
Mainly, I'm thinking that, of course, as bad as they were 3 to 4 weeks ago, Rodgers is going to come back, and they're going to go to the playoffs.
You just know it.
Yeah.
And then we've got Oakland Raiders at San Diego Chargers. You know, we didn't bring it up earlier, but San Diego Chargers are a team in the hunt for that sixth AFC mm-hmm. playoff spot.
And they're playing well, obviously.
And they're playing really well. Their offense is looking really good. It's back to how we remember them playing, obviously.
And their defense looked pretty decent in Denver last week, so.
Yes, the defense looked great in Denver. They had a really great blueprint for defeating Peyton Manning. Phillip Rivers is fired up. He's excited right now. Oakland is just trying to limp their way into next season and potentially a brand new coach. I'm going with the Chargers.
This is in San Diego, right?
This is in San Diego.
Yeah, I think this one's, without it potentially being a situation where they're looking ahead. I don't know who they have in week 17 or something along those lines. I don't see that being the case. So
I don't see that being a problem.
They're just clearly the better team at this point, and they're at home, so it's pretty tough to pick against the Chargers.
And finally, Monday Night Football, we've got the Atlanta Falcons at the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are fighting for their playoff lives right now. Atlanta, bless their hearts. They've tried so hard this year with so many injuries. but they're completely irrelevant to the playoff picture right now. You know, I think this is going to be, I think this is going to get ugly for the Falcons on national television in San Francisco, the final game played in Candlestick. I'm going to go, I got to go with the Niners. I don't see any argument against that.
I mean, between the health of these two teams, just the momentum of these two teams right now, the intangibles of the evening with it being the last game in Candlestick, it's a Monday night game. There's it's hard for me to come up with a scenario where I think the Falcons win this game.
Yeah, so, I hear you.
And we're a couple seconds early on that one.
Niners.
All
right, those are our Week 16 picks. You do with them what you want. I apologize.
Bet
for
lots of
week.
Money on them.
Bet
just
lots
don't,
of money on them.
Just don't blame us.
Just don't blame
us
if you lose
happen.
It all. There, perfect. We're gonna take a break and then we'll be back to send this thing home.
All right. I am the
We're back here at the F-Ball NFL Podcast, and before we leave you, we're going to do what we do every week, which is a reading from the Book of Bradshaw.
As is customary.
As is customary. The Book of Bradshaw is otherwise known as It's Only a Game, the memoir written by Terry Bradshaw, who, as Brian has suggested before, you should know who he is.
And he's got really large hands. I've shaken hands with the man, and they're just enormous hands.
Quarterbacks.
Well, of course, but it's also, he's older, so it's like old man, large hands.
Yeah.
It was weird.
There were a lot of jobs for which I wasn't qualified. I didn't have the patience to be a good teacher. I didn't understand finance well enough to become a banker or stockbroker. Last time I drove a truck, I ended up spending the day in a creek. Summing up, basically I had no marketable skills. That made me perfect for television. I could go on television and people would listen to me and I would make them feel good about themselves because they would know that if Terry Bradshaw, who had no apparent skills, could be successful on television, there was hope for them in whatever they chose to do with their lives. I have never watched much TV. That is probably not a wise confession from someone who appears on TV as much as I do, but if I did have the opportunity, I would definitely watch myself whenever I appeared. It's all those other shows on which I don't appear I probably wouldn't watch. Basically, I watch the movie channels. I love classic movies. There are certain movies, and I am not exaggerating, that I have probably watched at least 100 times. I take them with me when I travel and put them on at night and go to sleep to the familiar dialogue.
So, Terry Bradshaw watches Westerns and...
is a creature of habit.
Must be watching replays of the live TV that he's on. I mean, how is he watching TV that he's on?
He said he wishes he could if he would. He would watch it if he could, but it's not possible. I mean, I guess he could DVR himself, go home, yeah, and then watch it at the end of the day.
I'm sure he does, actually.
I'm sure. As long as he knows that DVRs exist, I'm sure that's what he does.
Yeah, it's a good point. He might not be aware.
So that wraps up the Week 16 2013 edition of the F-Ball NFL Podcast. Obviously, next week is a holiday. It's the Christmas holiday. So we will not be doing a show on Wednesday. We will, however, because there's no Thursday night football anymore, put forth our show next Thursday night. So you won't be without our excellent NFL analysis heading into Week 17. And, of course, the picks you all love so very, very much.
Of course.
And our beautiful voices that you need to listen to every week, or else you'll go mad.
They're so soothing.
So we'll be back next week, just a day later because of the holiday. I'm your host here at the F-Ball Podcast. I'm Andrea Hanks. I'm the AFC North lead writer at Bleacher Report and a pro football focused fantasy football contributor. You can find my work. You go to bleacherreport.com. Just search my name. You'll be able to find my columns there. We're kind of reworking some of our stuff, so there's no more AFC North blog at the moment. But rest assured, I'm covering the AFC North 6 days a week. You can also go to profootballfocus.com and get all my fantasy help. Yes, I am still updating waiver wire picks for deep leagues, even though it is week 16. So if you need some help with that, go over to profootballfocus.com. And you can find me on Twitter at fball_Andrea, FBALL_Andrea.
And I'm your co-host, a.k.a. the co-main event of the evening.
The co-main event of the evening.
A.k.a. the producer of the F-Ball NFL podcast.
Indeed.
A.k.a. Brian.
A.k.a. Brian.
At BFAT65 on
right.
Twitter.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of the F-Ball podcast. All of you who are celebrating the Christmas holiday next week, have a wonderful Christmas.
Yes,
I hope you get everything you put on your list to Santa Claus or dad or mom or your wife or your boyfriend.
Try not to get any paper cuts from tearing into wrapping and things like that.
Yeah, don't get too excited.
That's not good.
It's all right.
Responsible gift opening.
Yeah. You don't want a bunch of paper cuts. It's just not. That doesn't bring you holiday cheer.
Of course not. And if you're celebrating other holidays and things.
Or nothing at all.
Or just celebrating the fact that you're not celebrating anything.
Yeah, have a wonderful week then.
How does that make sense?
Just have a great week. We'll be back next Thursday to talk about week 17, playoffs and all that fun stuff. Coaches getting fired, all that exciting end of the season stuff. So until then, yeah, enjoy your holiday, should you want to enjoy a holiday, and we'll see you next week.
Merry football Christmas.
Peace.